Hello, Chuck Bonneville and Julie Hayden back for our third. It's our third podcast.
This is technically our fourth because we filled in for Karen Canning, and thanks to her on spidingoff.com yesterday.
Yeah, and if you get a chance, you certainly want to go to her program too, which is
Spouting Off.
It's Spouting Off.
You can get it through KarenCatalin.com. Want to let folks know a couple things. Once again, this is a live and local call-in show. Here's the number to call in, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. You want to say thank you to all the folks who have been calling in. We talked to Barney and Charlene yesterday. Not like other radio where you can only call in once a week. You can call in here as much as you want.
Of course, we're only on once a week right now.
But you can call in.
You're going once a week.
Yeah. And another thing, too, a lot of times some of the folks, if you already have my cell phone, feel free to go ahead and text me, too, and we can read your texts on the air. If you don't have my cell phone, I'm sorry, I'm not going to give it out quite yet, but that's another option for you too. Okay, once again, a lot to talk about. That's
why
we're going to go to three shows the first week of February, because we might have to go to twice a day or something like that. There's so much to go on. We were watching Jason Crow right now is the Colorado congressperson who's one of the House managers, is droning on and on. Earlier, Adam Schiff joined on and on. If you haven't been up to speed on the impeachment, here's what they did last night. They went to like 2 o'clock in the morning, Washington, D.C. time. And essentially McConnell got everything he wanted for the most part. They agreed that rather than each side is going to have 24 hours, the House manager side, then the president's attorneys are going to have 24 hours spread over, not two as McConnell originally wanted, but 3 days.
That's not a small concession. You have to understand.
Yeah.
That it would have been that they'd be done by Thursday. And so by Friday and the weekend, then Trump would give it his, and that would have continued all weekend long. I mean, it's a bit of inside baseball, but it was a big concession. Not that he wanted to make it.
No.
Because it, normally you'd go, 3 days, 2 days, but it finishes up on Thursday instead of Friday. And that's the problem with the Republicans. I mean, the Democrats at war, right? I mean, they're not going to give an inch on anything, And the Republicans are endless. Are we going to seem fair? Are we going to seem, are we sweet? Are we wonderful? And they're just going to get slaughtered every time they,
Silence of the lambs. No, right, don't let it be that. Right. Here's what.
Does Trump seem fair and equitable? No, that's what we like about him.
It's Adam Schiff. So let me finish up though talking about the procedure. So what they're going to do then, so that'll go on. Each side will have 12 hours or 24 hours. Then there's going to have like 16 hours of questioning. And then from what I gather, 2 hours each side of closing statements. Then they're going to decide whether they can go ahead and call witnesses or not. A couple of things, and Chuck, then we want to get into what you were kind of talking about there. So on the one hand, McConnell held the caucus together. Cory Gardner, Mitt Romney did not weasel out. They all voted along party lines. Susan Collins had one medium weaselly vote, but that was just it.
Well, it was a weird vote. It was not the one to have Bolton or another
right,
key
it was
one,
just
but
a
she
vote.
Wanted to register that she's officially fair.
And here's what I'm going to say to her. Forget about it. Okay. Right. Just forget about it. No one cares. Let me put it this way. Fair is not, I'm sorry to say, part of this equation. So let's just go back. Adam Schiff lied about everything from the beginning, right? They set stuff up with the whistleblower. The whistleblower, Paul Sperry, in A Real Clear Investigations, has a great investigative piece out right now. So the whistleblower, Eric Tremella, meets with this guy, Paul Misko. They're both working in their Obama holdovers. Misko quits to go work with Schiff. Tremella contacts Misko. I mean, it's a lie.
They get Vindman to help the
right.
whole scam.
It's a lie and a setup, this whole Ukraine thing from the beginning. Adam Schiff, the latest lie is he's trying to introduce this document from this Lev Parnas guy that says meet with Mr. Z.
Right.
Well, he leaves out the fact, and he knows it, that Mr. Z
is not
the president of
Zelensky
Ukraine.
Who's the president,
right.
But
it's some,
woman.
Some random Z person.
Yeah.
So they have lied from the beginning. And the House Republicans got this. Jim Jordan,
yes,
Matt Gaetz,
yes,
Mike Meadows,
yes,
they got this
yes,
as well.
Brilliant.
When
they
did stuff like, we're going to storm into the meeting and make us kick us out, that was perfect, okay? What you got here, I'm afraid, is a bunch of dull-witted, because now they can't even have their cell phones, bored senators who are more impressed with the decorum of their office and how important they all are than actually taking care of this country and the people who voted for the president. And so to that, I just want to say, forget about being fair, Susan Collins. For Cory Gardner, don't you even think
about
weaseling
out.
Just
vote
whatever,
along
the line. Exactly. Because the Democrats are not going to be fair. They're already in their opening arguments, although it's droning, making up lies, right? And here we wanted to get, it was kind of interesting because Chuck watched more of this than I did. And Chuck,
I watched 7 hours, yes.
And you're... and you're a trial attorney, right? A former trial attorney. But, so Chuck was not, and I'm going to toss it to you, overly impressed with the president's attorneys.
My practice these days is to advise companies and individuals whether they have the right attorneys. I have an LLM in tax, in corporate tax, in real estate, I have a bankruptcy, and I've done all kinds of law. So I'm pretty good at being able to go in and say, yeah, these guys are perfect for you, or no, maybe you need another set of attorneys for here. And somebody who has enough money to hire me to advise them if they have enough attorney, do not hire hacks. I mean, 80% of attorneys.
Chuck's not cheap.
I'm not cheap, but no attorneys are cheap.
Oh, that's a good point.
And so you're putting another layer on your legal bills, but you know, I've gotten a whole practice out of it, so it must be okay. They find value in it. And so I'll go into a courtroom and they say, look, I'm not sure I've got the right set of attorneys. Could you go in there and see how they're doing, what they're doing, and for this case? And once again, I'm not overlooking hacks. I'm not going, God, these guys are morons.
These are good attorneys that you're looking at.
Yeah, I'm looking at good attorneys. And it's not that they're not good attorneys. Are they the right attorneys for the right kind of case? You can be a perfect attorney for one type of thing and not so good attorney for another. For example, most appellate attorneys are not very good trial attorneys. Most trial attorneys are not very good appellate attorneys. And they do both sometimes.
Different skill sets.
Totally different skill sets. And a lot of times somebody who's maybe okay at both is a jack of all trades and a master of none. And so that doesn't mean they're bad attorneys or dumb people or anything else. If you walk in, you don't know the attorneys at all, you've just walked in and they're doing preliminary motions and everything else, the first thing you look at is their clothes. Do they get it? I'm assuming this is a jury trial. Do they get, and Shakespeare said, the world is a stage and men and women are but players on it. And that's absolutely true. But for a trial, if that's true for the world, it is really true for a trial. It is a play. And in order for the play to work, you have to have a costume designer. You also have to have a set designer. I mean, those are not words you normally think of, but every big trial I had a set designer, which means they'd go in, look at the layout of the court. They would move desks, you know, slightly this way, that way, or they'd take the podium. The podium is your enemy when you're talking to a
jury. But here's
jury.
The thing, too. I covered, I'm a former TV reporter, covered a million, maybe not a million, but 100,000 trials. And always you would see the attorneys do that because the reporters would complain because we'd set our camera up,
right.
to have the courtroom a certain way. And then they'd be rearranging the courtroom and everything like that. Then we'd go argue and the judge never ruled in the media's favor.
No, because it's not, right. I mean, you're not a set designer, but that's as stupid as you may think that is. How are you facing that jury? Where are you from the jury? Where is the defendant? Is it kind of defendant you want the jury to see, or is it kind of defendant you don't want the jury to see, plaintiff or defendant? I mean, all of that is incredibly important, just like the negotiations to end the Vietnam War. The Vietnamese were arguing about the table for months. Right. Well, it was smart. And the Americans just go, oh.
Well, that's good. Before we kind of finish up, because talk about what you weren't impressed, because I know Barney, who is one of the world's greatest straight shooters of all times, is on line two with us here. Hey, Barney, good afternoon. Thanks for calling in. What do you make of all of this?
Well, I thought I was going to have to beat up Chuck today, but he already took my thunder. But by the way, Julie, you're beautiful as usual when I go and watch you guys on YouTube.
Thank you.
You guys look really good. Really need to see that tiger dog, though. But
bring him up. Come on, he wants to see.
All right,
and we give him to you.
Right, this is the fun of doing this podcast. So, Barney, this is my daughter tiger? Jennifer.
Jennifer,
this is Tiger.
There's Tiger, the world's greatest attack dog there ever was. Say hello, everybody, Tiger.
Killer, awesome.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Jenny.
Chuck. You hit it. Look, I'm listening to Jay Sekulow, and I'm like, he sounds like a butt clown. I mean, I expected the Democrats to, and I haven't even heard Jason Crow, you know, Mr. Ranger Tab, where. But if I were Donald Trump, I'd really be worried, because those whoever was arguing from the Democrat side, they were sounding really cool and really good. And you're right. I watched. I can't think if it was Ted Olson. Maybe I can't remember. It was him that would. When you argue in front of the Supreme Court, it's different.
Yes. And totally different.
It takes a different attorney to do that.
You know who's great in front of the Supreme Court, who's just a total asshat, is Ken Starr. Ken Starr was a perfect appellate argument, and he's an asshat. I mean, they've got him as part of the – and they shouldn't have him. He's awful. But in front of the Supreme Court, he was one of the best I've ever heard. He was, you know, very intellectual, but, you know, didn't annoy them at all, because he was always self-deprecating. Well, and he's a perfect appellate attorney. And he'd make a terrible trial attorney. In fact, he makes a terrible person.
Well, here's the thing, you guys, too,
is hit that right on the nail.
They gotta keep in mind who the trial is to, right? Who's their audience? Because we all know they could have voted, I don't know, like 4 months ago on this, and the vote would be exactly the same as it's going to be at the end of this. They're not talking to the boring senators in there. They're talking to the American people. And
absolutely, Julie.
And to give another point, Julie said, well, this is just preliminary motions. And I said, no. You know, you win most of your trials in voir dire. They either identify with you, they trust you, they like you, or they don't. And you can't say this is just a voir dire. You can't say this is just the motions. It is critical. It's, you know, you only get one chance to make a first impression. And they're making an impression to American public. And the president's attorneys, who are brilliant, Cipollo, University of Chicago, Court of Appeals, his assistant, Philip, he had a Court of Appeals, then he clerked for Clarence Thomas. And he's a brilliant guy. And he's awful. He's awful. Because he doesn't
they should get like actors to portray themselves.
They ought to get Jerry Spence, bring him out of Wyoming. Jerry Spence would be perfect.
So what would you like to see there, Barney? What would you like to see from him?
Well, I don't know, because it's been a long time since I remember in the OJ trial, the DNA guy, he had a Jewish name.
Cyril Recht?
No, he's not the examiner.
No, okay. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I can't remember who he was, but and they definitely, there's a trick to it. I mean, when you're, but I'll tell you, if this was a trial in front of a jury, Trump has already lost. I mean, it's over with. And you're right, Chuck, it's over, because those guys are speaking to us. They're not speaking to the other clown senators. And I don't know. I don't know what's happened today. I didn't give 7 hours and I got fed up. You know,
All I watch is stagecraft, and that's what a trial is in part. Yeah. In part is stagecraft, and one of the things is these are set rules. You know, you do not wear a pocket handkerchief, and you do not wear a white one because that blocks you off from who you're talking to. You do not wear a red power tie or a yellow power tie. You wear a blue or something, you think, well, what? Who cares? It's everything in a trial. It is everything.
But you want them to look at you, not your suit.
Exactly. And you don't want a suit that says, I'm more important than you.
Yeah.
You do not want your suit saying, I'm more important than you.
Right.
And so what does Philip wear? He's, you know, and he's got the tortoiseshell glasses. And what does Cicillo do? French cuffs.
Yeah.
You know, the little hanky.
Stupid.
And the whole bit. Yeah. And just kind of go. And they don't. Here it is. This is the greatest opportunity they'll ever have, because now these guys will drone on for 3 days. They should have come on like gangbusters. That was their greatest chance. And do they have any audio, video? Do they have any PowerPoints? None. Zero. Zilch.
But they should have had it for the beginning.
No, they need it for here.
Right,
who cares what they do it, you know, 3 days from today? They had none, and they blew it. And they were the wrong attorneys.
Well,
bright and as intelligent and good as they are, you know, I would have fired them.
Let Barney finish.
Go ahead, Barney. I know.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Listen, just so you know, you can spend $5,000 on a suit and it doesn't have to look like it. So, but anyway, I love you guys as usual. I'll go back and listen.
Okay, thanks, Barney.
Thanks, Barney.
Hey, 888.
See you,
888-627-6008 is the number to call in. And if you want to, folks, I have my phone number, which is like everybody in the universe practically. You can go ahead and text me too, and I'll read the text here on the air. One of the things, Chuck, you were watching last night, and Geraldo Rivera, who I don't always agree with,
You're right.
That's exactly what Geraldo Rivera said.
Yes.
Geraldo Rivera said, these guys were terrible. They needed to have done something different. I agree with you, because what we've got now is the going on and on and on, and they're laying out the case, all of which we've heard before. If anybody is still watching in a few days from now, you know, I don't know, but I think you're right. They needed to come out fiery. They needed to come out strong, and they need to quit worrying about how they look to the other senators. They're not talking to those senators.
No.
All of those senators already know how they're going to vote. For instance, I mean, they were trying to impeach Trump before he was inaugurated, right? So that hasn't changed at all. So they're not talking to them. They're talking to the American people. So I think that's one thing they need to do. Now, one person they should all take lessons from, and I'm going to say that if you're not from Colorado, we've got this great district attorney in what's our 18th judicial district. His name is George Brockler. I, as I said, have covered thousands, literally thousands of trials. This guy is the best trial attorney I have ever seen, Chuck. He sets the stage. He uses props. He comes out. I'll never forget, you know, it's like, I mean, he's just like, his rhetoric is perfect. I mean, this guy, they should just like hire him to try everything. And they did not have that. I'll give you, I agree with you there.
No, it is a different one. I mean, they were arguing the technical points, and they did brought some good ones up when they tried to, you know, bring up technical ones, and they talk in Latin phrases, legal Latin phrases, which is, you know, absolutely don't do that in front of the world.
Well, here's the thing.
And it is just so awful to watch the most important trial. They have no visual aids, which makes them boring. The other side has great ones. They're responding to the technical points. I'll give Scipione credit, though. He went after Nadler, and I hope to have
Nadler is not your best image
you
went up there.
He's awful.
But, you know, here's the thing.
Wait a minute. Went after him, you know, tooth and nail. And that's when afterward the Robert said, you know, let's calm
good,
down.
Exactly.
But that was his best one.
But
that was, you know, give him credit for that. That
right.
was great, which is maybe the high point of the entire one. The only one that's going to matter too much. But they've got the wrong attorneys, and they got Pam Bondi, who's a joke. I mean, she's attractive looking, but she's
maybe
not
throw
good.
Her up there. Yeah.
But there is stagecraft to this. This is, you know, how you say your words. You know, one of the things. I used to give my summary, you know, my closing arguments in the end of it would be an iambic pentameter. And you kind of go, what? You gave your final, you know, four minutes in iambic pentameter? I mean, that's what Shakespeare did. You know, if you read Romeo and Juliet, half it's in prose, they're called blank verse, half it's in iambic pentameter. And I'll give you some iambic pentameter from that.
He wrote this morning.
No, but soft, what light through yonder window breaks. It is the east and Juliet is the sun. That's iambic pentameter. It's boom, 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 boom. It's the same as your heartbeat. And if you go up in front of the jury rail and do it as conversation, not as a poem reading, because iambic pentameter can be conversational.
Right.
And you're going boom, 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 boom. You go down the rail, and there are five lines, and then you go back for another five lines like this, and you go back, and then you break. You break from the pentameter, and you do two declarative words or three or four. Bam!
He's guilty.
It's bam! I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, you think, and you'll get them to nod their head along with it. It's a heartbeat thing. You can't help but going, with somebody's doing iambic pentameter and agreeing with you, and you kind of go, that's insane. I mean, you know.
Now, George Brockler did that in the Aurora Theater shooting trial. He was doing that, and then he went and he said, and that guy there, right? And everyone went, guilty, right? I mean, but you're right. It's extremely effective. Well, let me, to that point, one of the things I think that's kind of weird, I mean, Alan Dershowitz, I like Alan Dershowitz. And it's kind of cute, I think, that he gets up and he says, as soon as I explain to them all that this is completely unconstitutional, it would be over. You want to say, do we think any of those Democrats there, or in the country care that it's constitutional? No. I mean, they were trying to impeach him before he was inaugurated. Never forget that, right? Maxine Waters, we're going to continue impeaching him. They're being honest about it now, saying we have to impeach him because we can't win. Ocasio-Cortez the other day said, if we don't impeach him, something terrible is going to happen on election day. It's like, right. So constitutionality has zippo to do with it. And you're, Chuck, you're right. They need to, you know, Trump is a reality TV star, for Pete's sakes, right? He needs to be calling them in and saying, all right, you know, let's get my old producer in here and we're going to figure out how we're going to make this sing. Because if you're
those, his White House counsel, and so those guys were making $5 and $6 million at Kirkland and Ellis. They're both from Kirkland and Ellis. And they're brilliant. And they're brilliant. But they're not trial attorneys. They're not the ones you want.
They need like a scrappy defense attorney or something right?
Jerry Spence would be perfect. You want to be folksy. You want to be, you know, talk to people in the language they understand. You want to make it seem like you're not talking down to people. And you've got to be able to connect.
And
connect.
Here's something else I think they should do. And I don't know. This is just what I think they should do. I think that they should shorten it up, right? I think that they can't. No. They have to go 12 hours every day? Just say, look, we're done. I mean, why?
Well, they can. I mean,
Democrats can't because they hear. Oh, so you've got a text from Barney. Here, let me get a text from Barney. Oh, this is right. Absolutely, Barney. Little guy from my cousin Vinny, better than any of Trump's attorneys.
It's not that they're not good attorneys. They would be great for the Supreme Court. Either one of those would be a great candidate
for
the Supreme
Court.
But not for this format. But not to be the ones. This is a trial, and you need a good folksy, not too folksy. You can't be overly folksy, but somebody who connect with average people and others and talk to them. Sadly, Adam Schiff, who's just a snake, there's nobody lower, but he went to Harvard, so he's a bright guy. He spent 6 years as a prosecuting attorney, so he learned some of the tricks, and he's pretty effective given the fact he's just a slime ball.
303.
Let's give out Julie's.
The phone number if you want to call in and tell us what you think. And you know what? Agree or disagree. Like I said, we're broadcasting from our kitchen. We've always tried to have the feel that we're all just sitting around the kitchen. Agree, disagree, yell at each other, want to throttle each other. That's okay. All views are welcome and can be heard here. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. My question to you is, Chuck, we're going to go through all of this. There's going to be a lot of hours of, frankly, fairly boring TV.
Very boring.
So we already know how the vote's going to be. We already know he's going to be acquitted, right? We already know it's going to probably almost certainly be along party lines. I think we can say that the Republicans, even the Cory Gardners in the party, have gotten the message. You do not want to break with the president on this issue. But what about the public? Does this make a difference, do you think? Do you think, you and I are watching, Barney's watching, Charlene's watching, Karen Cataline's watching. On the other side, all the Democrat, the hardcore progressives are, I'm sure Ted Trimp is watching, well, maybe not totally, but at any rate, but the middle portion of the country, right, who's just out there doing their job, do you think this is going to make a difference they think?
I think Democrats are very good at explaining in simple terms the Republicans will not have a fair trial.
No.
And the Republicans weren't kind of going, you're the least fair people in the world and you're a joke and this whole thing's a joke. I think they lost round one. I don't think
you
it's
mean
a
yesterday.
Big, yes, they okay. lost in round one. I don't
and
think
point.
It's,
wasn't a knockout, but
no, it wasn't a knockout.
Okay.
That's
boxing
owned
talk.
Cipollone by, you know, letting Nadler have it, you know, that helped come back on points.
Mm-hmm.
But now the only question, because this stuff is insipid. I mean, watching these managers
here's what, if I were Mitch McConnell, I would pass a new rule that said no one can quote anyone dead. Okay, no more quotes from the founding fathers, quotes, no more quotes from anyone.
No more Hamilton.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. If I were the president's people, I would just get to it. I would get to it fast, and I would get out and say, we're done. You know, I mean, rather than quoting Alexander Hamilton and then Thomas Jefferson.
Well, they've done so much of that.
I mean, it's like just to me anyway, right? That's not, I don't think that's getting.
Well, they have to put that in because it's if they actually concentrate on what they're actually saying, it's just kind of like, that's not
impeachable. Here's a question. Was there, Vindman, was there anybody, was there quid pro quo? Sonneman, was there quid pro quo? No quid pro quo. So, I mean, they are kind of screwed on that.
So, okay, here's the thing. Now the first round, and that's the only round that matters, coming up, well, it's the only one that matters unless and until they have witnesses. If they have witnesses, then everything can change. Either side. I mean, if all of a sudden they get Eric Jamela up there.
Whistleblower.
The whistleblower, you know, it could be devastating.
That's not going to happen. I mean, this is what I'm going to say right now. This is my prediction. They're going to want to argue a lot about witnesses, but in the end, the problem they have is that's a double-edged sword for both parties, right? In the end, Schiff, Sharamella, I mean, the Democrats conspired, put this together. They've been working on this with the Lawfare folks for a long time. We all know that. They don't want to talk about that. They'd love to talk to John Bolton, but they're not entirely sure what he's going to say. And even still, they run into the fact that the president released a transcript, so we know what they say. There was no quid pro quo. Ukraine says that there was no quid pro quo. Schiff is going on and on about the fact that the Ukrainians need our aid, blah, 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 not mentioning that Obama didn't give it to them, and Trump did give them the aid. So I think that if you're a Democrat at this point, if you're looking at the scales, you have a little bit more to lose than you have to gain. On the other hand, they're gamblers, but my prediction is right now they'll argue a lot about witnesses and try to make the other side look guilty for not letting him have it. Have a witness, but I don't think they're going to do witnesses.
Well, I guess I disagree. I think the Democrats want witnesses. They very much want witnesses because that could change the
makes
whole ball
makes it interesting,
game.
Yeah.
With Bolton, you don't know what Bolton's going to say. He's kind of a whack ball. He could say anything, and that could change a lot. I mean, that could be a huge, you know, game changer. So they do want Bolton in particular.
You've got Biden.
They're willing to, and I think they should
throw Biden under the bus
because it hasn't affected Trump's approval rating at all. You might as well throw it in. You might as well say, you know, and you have the advantage of the mainstream media. No matter what Bolton says, or no matter what Jaramillo says, it doesn't matter because they'll just say he was, you know, Bolton.
Well, that goes back to my original question. I'm not so sure in the overall scheme of things that this actually matters. In fact, I'm going to go further than that. I'm going to say, and what do you think? 888-627-6008. I don't think, in terms of how people are going to vote in November, that this makes very much difference. I think it makes Republicans more angry and more motivated to get out and vote. I think it kind of helps, but the Democrats still have the problem of they have no good candidates, right? And they're fighting amongst themselves, and we can talk about that in a second. I just don't think, in spite of all, I think this is bad for the country. And I think this is bad for the whole concept of impeachment and the executive power and the separation of church. And I think this is something that is now going to be a common part of politics, all things considered, right? But right. I don't think in terms of how what happens in November, this is going to make much difference.
It could make all the difference in the world, depending on what Bolton says. And it could destroy Biden. And the latest poll from CNN, which is shocking, who hates Sanders, has Sanders up for the first time as the Democratic nomination.
CNN, yeah.
This could, they know that if Bolton comes up and really zaps Trump, that could make a huge difference. And if Biden, they figure, well, okay, Biden goes down, we have Warren. We got plenty more. They just have Trump.
that is the advantage of where they are. Destroy Biden.
Okay, get rid of him.
Well, now let's talk about, switching gears a little bit, a couple other things I wanted to talk about. The Peter Schweizer book, which is interesting. Boy. And then also something that happened here in Denver recently, John Caldera, he's a radio talk show host at KHOW Radio,
Independence Institute,
had a column in the Denver Post, the only conservative voice in the Denver Post. They fired him for the unforgivable sin of saying that there are two genders, go figure. I can't tolerate that, so they fired him. Want to talk about that too, because I think that's the kind of thing that could have more impact on the election than this. But let me, the Schweitzer
book. Well, I don't know. On the election? I mean, not in Colorado, not going to be any different.
Well, we get depressed when we talk about Colorado politics. I think the Peter Schweitzer book is interesting. He wrote Clinton Cash, which came out right before...
It destroyed
the Clinton Foundation.
It had the biggest effect on the 2016 election because all of a sudden the saintly Clinton Foundation going around the world helping people Everybody wanted to be part of it. They all wanted to be part of that beginning of the year hoopla, I guess it was in September. And he destroyed it. I mean, he showed it for what it was just a way to loot the world.
And he's doing that with the Biden family and others too. But right now we get another call. Let's go to Rick from Aurora. Hey, Rick, thanks for calling Chuck and Julie show.
Yeah. Hey, Chuck and Julie, found you. My wife and I missed you. We are sorry about the other situation, but I don't want to get into that.
Okay.
You can if you want to, but you know.
No, but go ahead. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to quickly say we felt bad about it. Okay.
Well, thank everything. You.
Thanks.
There's no continuity anymore over there, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't like to look back. Anyhow. I was going to mention the whole Biden thing with the Schwab. That's big time. So if you guys want to comment or after I hang up, but actually that was my subject, because I cannot stomach watching this bizarro world where, I can sit there and I already know what everyone's going to say. I mean, it's a joke.
Read this book already. Yeah. Well, what did you make of the Biden thing? Okay, because we'd heard about Hunter, but now,
brother is Frank.
Brother.
Dog, everybody got in the deal.
I mean, it really is like, remember when Idiot Pesonek was talking about mafioso type? The Bidens, actually.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden you put the brother on and they get a contract to construct 100,000 houses in Iraq. Tell me that wasn't a gravy train. Holy mackerel.
I mean, it's almost so, it's laughable.
It is.
It is. Well, it's so corrupt, though, right? And here's what I think, Rick. I think that it wasn't just Joe Biden, right? I think there are a lot of those people up there on Capitol Hill.
Well, that's what the whole book is about. It isn't just about the Biden. It's also about the Sanders and Warren and everybody else. They're all on the gravy train.
Would you agree with this statement, then I'll get going? And that is, looking back for the last 5 years, the fact is, they frame him for everything because they need him out because, he's turning over the rocks.
Yes. The gravy train, it hasn't been upset, but it's teetering a little bit and they're terrified.
No, lights are being shown under rocks. And Rick, you're absolutely right. I absolutely 100% agree with you there.
One other quick question. Are you on once a week, every day? What's your schedule now?
We're on once a week on Wednesdays at 3.
But we've got such a great kind of response from people like you and others that BBS has asked if we'll do it for a Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays now. So we'll be starting in February. We'll be on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, 3 to 4.
Well, that's great. That's great. We listened to you religiously before, and we will continue. And the best of luck to both of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Listen, appreciate your calling. Hey, and we love to have phone calls. 888-627-6008. You can also text me at my phone number. Half the world has it. I want to go back because I think Rick is absolutely correct. One of the reasons that everybody, and not everybody, but almost everybody hates Trump is because he has exposed this deep state corruption. When you read the Peter Schweizer book, and we haven't got it yet, but just from what we've seen, so Hunter Biden's got China Burisma, right? He's got another his brother. He's got a brother that they come in, these guys come in, they're like, hey, we're a construction company. And they're like, we would love to put Joe Biden's brother on our board. Bingo, they do, they get a contract.
For 100,000 homes.
100,000 homes.
And they'd never constructed homes before.
No, it'd be like getting it.
Right. And they describe, I think it's Frank Biden, they're saying, he's comfortable in the corridors of power and knows that. I mean, they're just saying, we brought him on an obscene amount.
That means you can bribe him so easy. Yeah, you wouldn't believe it. Yeah. No, I mean, it's crazy. Then his whole family. And
the other one, the Costa Rica, they're going to destroy, part of the beautiful ecosystem, call it,
Bidenville.
Saving Bidenville and so forth. And then they put him on, and now he's flying down to Costa Rica with Uncle Joe, or I guess Brother Joe. I mean, it's just amazing how corrupt the whole family is.
It is. And I got to wonder if that's why you don't have some senators up there and other people. Like, for instance, all of the bureaucrats who testified that, they didn't like the way Trump was handling Ukraine because he wasn't calling them up about it and he wasn't doing what they said.
Right.
I got to wonder if that pieces of that pie were spread all over the place, that's more than anything why they hate
And I'm sure Trump. Republicans, too. In fact, we know it because Frank Manafort
Paul Manafort,
I mean, he was certainly there, and so were, you know, the Democratic. Everybody in Washington knew we were sending $1 billion over and getting $1 billion back, because it wasn't their money as far as the politicos were concerned.
No, and so that's the thing I think that's been exposed, because Trump, whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, whether you think Trump was a great business guy, was he a shady business guy, was he a corrupt business guy, I think you do have to agree that he was, at least was not part of that D.C. deep state corruption.
He was part of New York corruption.
He was part of
Atlantic
New York,
City New corruption.
New York development corruption, right? Yeah. So it's that kind of thing, and I think that this his administration is exposing that, and that's all coming. Hang on, we got a text now. I have to put my glasses on when we text, guys. That's okay.
Oh, no. Good, put our glasses on.
Anil says he's listening, but he can't call in. Chuck is when Chuck leans out of frame like that, he's looking at the computer. Listening, but can't call in. But who is actually watching the nonsense witch hunt in D.C.? It's a waste of time and dangerous. Democrats will pay if the Republicans to – if this is great, Anil, if Republicans continue to be aggressive like the Incredible Hulk. That's exactly what they do. And when you watch the Marvel comic books, every so often the Hulk goes in and he just starts smashing, right? That's what they need. They need somebody to get there after Adam Schiff is drone on, Jerry Nadler,
well,
Jason
just to grab
Crow,
Adam with
and
a little pencil neck.
They just start smashing, right?
Right.
Because here's the other thing that Trump has done is he's taught Republicans how to fight back. They need to pay attention.
They need a Trumpian defense.
They do. When he gets on these rallies, right? I mean, think about this. This was unthinkable 4 years ago. He's at his rallies and he's pointing to the back and saying, fake news, CNN. And the crowd turns and they're booing and shouting at fake news, CNN, right? That was unthinkable
a few
years ago, right? But now he does it. No one cares. CNN is forced to do their own
job. Well, CNN is now copying him. They're going to have Brian Seltzer, the biggest tool they've got, do an HBO thing on fake news, meaning Trump, right?
Right,
not,
right?
Not himself.
Not that he's doing fake news. Forget right, about right. Forget about all the fake news that they've done. And so Trump, I think, has taught people to fight back. And I worry about the Senate. Right, Anil is absolutely right, and thank you for texting in. They need to be like they need to just think Incredible Hulk, smash, smash, smash.
Well,
right?
Here's the problem, because you know they got Shannon Bream and who I can't stand really, but yeah.
She looks pretty though.
She looks pretty. You know, they're kind of there's
she looks pretty.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
She keeps, oh boy, all the pressure on the Republican ones and Collins and Cory Gardner and all the rest. And they never say, okay, where's all the pressure on Joe Manchin on the Democratic
right,
side?
Right, exactly.
And Doug Jones on the Democrat. They never say that.
No.
And therefore, they increase the pressure on those people. I mean, it's just
right.
They buy whatever the Democrats sell. They buy.
Well, they're part of it.
Yeah, they're part of it.
They're part of it. And that's what, let us segue. And we can go back. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. We're kind of bouncing around. We can talk about anything. But here in Denver, last week or over the weekend, John Caldera, who's been a columnist at the Denver Post, the only conservative voice, and I think even John would describe himself as he's a libertarian more than he is a conservative. I think
he's an iconoclast. I mean, that's what he is.
He's a great columnist.
Well, he's a great guy. I mean, he's always, you know, and he's an insider. I mean, he knows everything because the Independence Institute brings people in. He's part of a fulcrum of knowledge that allows him to really intelligently comment on things,
and
which is why
they
got kicked
rid of
him off the Denver Post. It was not that Megan Schrader, who comes on like a 14-year-old, see that picture of you know, before you had the beauty lessons or something. And well, it's true. I mean, she has no makeup. She's kind of giggly. I mean,
well, she's progressive.
Yeah, she's progressive. And she didn't decide one day, oh my gosh, he's insensitive. I'm shocked. I mean, John has always been humorously.
He's not been Mr.
Humorous,
sensitive.
Well, he's been humorously provocative.
Right.
It's humorously. It's never hard edge. It's never mean. It's never mean-spirited. It is humorously iconoclastic. And that's why he's fun to read.
Right.
And that's why they cut him off, because everybody, you just read the comments on the Denver Post about his getting, and they couldn't have been more snarky.
Well,
and they were, every time he had a good column, there, you know, Progress Now, Media Matter.
Well, they launched the minions.
They would, and then they'd all scream at the Denver Post. Just like the New York Times, they hired, you know, quote unquote conservative columnists from,
well, look at Politico. They change their headlines. They do all of this kind
of
stuff.
I mean, so there's enormous pressure. So all these people say, I'm not going to get the Denver Post anymore.
Oh, I can get it.
Yeah, the right-wing guy. And he thinks that just Megan one day said, oh, Well, that's a little insensitive. No. Well, no.
What he did is
they ran him out. They ran us out, and, you know, at least, you know, I can say I regret my joke, you know, but what did Caldera do? He was too provocatively intelligent.
No, he was
intelligent.
Here's what I think also. I think it's that and even deeper. So the column that he wrote that he says he got, let they fired him over after all these years, was he said that there were two genders, male and female. And they didn't like that. That was just too insensitive and they fired him. I do not believe for a second that Megan Schrader, who is, as you said, relatively young and inexperienced, there's no one left at the Denver Post anymore, so she became the head of the editorial page.
Yeah, she's willing to work for, you know, for food.
Right, yeah, for Burger King coupons.
Right.
She did not, I guarantee you, she did not make that decision alone. She did not make that decision in a vacuum. And here's what's happening. I think the left, besides the witch hunt that they're doing on the impeachment, right? They're doing witch hunts all over. And if there is any voice out there, and John Caldera was one,
yes,
that could reasonably intelligently and in a way that people could understand, he was starting to explain and had been explaining kinds of things that were going on at the state legislature in Colorado. Colorado, once again, if you're not from here, the Colorado model totally took over Colorado, completely controlled and dominated now by very progressive Democrats. And if you think that, you know, what we saw the last session in Colorado was bad, it's going to be even worse. They do not want, they being the progressives, they do not want people like John Caldera explaining, hey, they're about to take your tax refund back. Are you guys aware of this? Or they're about to increase this. And that's why they got rid of him.
Well, he ran the campaign against the Tabor restriction. They hated that. They couldn't stand that he did that.
Right.
They couldn't stand.
And we've got Father Hugh. Father Hugh.
He can give us a little Shakespeare, iambic pentameter.
Hey, Hugh, good afternoon.
You're the Shakespeare man, and isn't it wonderful? And now I'll do my rendition, Reunited, and it feels so good.
It is lovely to hear you.
And Charlene put me on to the contact and everything, and I'm thrilled. And
yay,
as you know, just, you know, the whole thing with yourself and John Caldera. You know, John Caldera made Rush today.
Yes.
Did Rush. He? Good for him.
Rush talked about it. It was one of his snippets. And, but, you know, I mean, it was horrible. And this whole canceling.
Yeah,
movie,
cancel culture.
It,
yeah.
It is.
I called in, Randy was receptive to me. Everybody else said get lost about you all. And I'll summarize. I mean, I boiled it down to two things. We got the Antifa people and we got snowflakes on our side. And they gin up some kind of assault based on something, and corporate management folds. And it's horrible. And I'll fulfill my usual role. Aristotle, the fundamental political virtue is courage. All the rest stem from that. And we have a serious lack of it.
Right.
No, we really do. And I, you know, Peter has been great. Randy has been great. Backbone Radio on Sunday has been great. The one person that what I considered was disgraceful was Stefan. I mean, he just crawled over our bodies and urinated on us.
Yeah.
And for a guy that was arrested.
Hey, I don't think
I want to go into
show.
It.
Okay.
No, he was arrested, you know, for abusing a woman.
And
everything
dropped.
Else. Oh, yeah, they were dropped because he had a great lawyer. But he got fired and he got everything else. For that guy to try to brutalize Julie and our kid and everything else is disgraceful. He's a disgrace as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, that's just me.
It's part of my show, too. I get drunk.
I'm just afraid of the way it's going. And
you're right.
Well, and Hugh, and that's a thing. And that's why I hope that John Caldera fights. I don't know how he would fight back.
He's not gonna
but
fight
for the
back.
Denver Post to lose, to fire him. And again, it wasn't over any particular column.
No.
Somebody said, we got to get rid of this guy. And I think, Hugh, tell me what you think. I think going into 2020, the Democrats and the progressives fight on all kinds of levels, right? And that, you know, the witch hunt, sham impeachment hearing is one, but trying to silence conservative voices. Did you see, I was reading, so Justice or Judicial Watch, right? Pretty well-respected, well-known organization. All they were doing yesterday was live streaming the impeachment hearings, right? And Facebook cut them off saying it didn't meet their community content standards. I mean, and they said, oh, that was an accident.
Yeah, it was an accident. No, it always is.
It was not an accident. No.
We have so much to talk about, but all I think about, the whole thing, and I'm at the point where I'm going to drop off for a couple of weeks on the impeachment. I mean, watch. You remember Joseph Welch when
yes.
he said to, was it Roy Cohn at long last, sir, have you no shame?
It was McCarthy, think, but yeah. Yeah.
These people stand up and they utter these insanities and these errors. And of course, when you hear Nancy Pelosi say, you know, the founding fathers would have put, and I think to myself, wow, you know, when you talk about the founding fathers, I vomit, Nancy.
Right.
These maybe the 70,000 foot commenters, it's a bad reflection on what's out there in our culture. We get self-aggrandizing people who are stupid, but not ashamed to attack the hyenas.
No, that's what you have. You have this wonderfully organized, incredibly effective, I can say, hyenas. And the hyenas came for John Caldera in large part because he was one of the leaders of defeating the Tabor one. They couldn't fire him right away, right? They couldn't do it November 10th or something. They had to wait a decent period of time before shutting him down. But they shut him down. And it was, as Julie said, you have to be naive to think that Megan Trader just woke up one day
and did it herself.
I mean, she was looking for the chance, the opportunity, and she got it because he said there are only two genders, which, you know, we know. You can't say that. That's the scarier thing.
What they're trying to do, number one, is they're, who do you think that they say they're looking for a new conservative writer?
Right.
So do you think that new conservative writer is going to talk about genders?
Like David Brooks for the New York
Times. What's her name? Jennifer Rubin from the Washington Post on the turn right.
I mean,
it'll be an insult for have the Post to accept you as a writer, because it means they don't think you're effective.
Well, and they don't
think you'll say anything provocative or interesting, and they might as well just put.
Well, you know, one of our friends, when we lived in the foothills, she was Cuban, and she had a very arch accent, and she'd say, "Hugh, the only time I buy the Post is when I'm shopping for a mattress."
You know, Hugh, I walk our dog every morning, right? And I walk like four blocks in the cul-de-sacs. And we get it out of some misguided loyalty to the newspaper industry. But what I've noticed is we're the only house that gets it in our neighborhood. We're the only house that gets it.
And that's part of your job.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Hugh, I got to tell you this. Anil texted and he said, yay, Father Hugh, the band is back together. So the team is
back. And kudos to Charlene. And I'll spread the word. And, you know, I still operate on two tin cans and a string and a landline. But you're going to make me get a computer in the apartment.
There you go. Well, you can listen on your phone, too. So, Q, call Chuck later, and I'll explain to him how you can listen on your phone, okay?
Well, actually, I have the number from Charlene.
There you go. There
you go. Not mess around.
No, Charlene is, she's going to be our manager, I think.
Yeah, that's
hey,
right.
Hugh, thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Welcome back.
This is Ben Nicholas is listening. He says, is it me or does it just seem that the local conservative voices are being silenced in the lead up to the 2020 election? Us, now John Caldera. Amen, Ben. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's not just here, right? It's not just, we're just the ones we know about because it was us.
They went after Hannity. They couldn't quite, you know, he made millions.
But still, if you look at moveon.org and Media Matters has an ongoing campaign.
It's
ongoing to silence Sean Hannity, right? And they're monitoring him and they're just waiting for him to say something. Same thing with John Caldera. He was too effective. They were just waiting for him to do something that they could go ahead and take him
sound off. Like they're, you and, know, and, they're progressive.
Right. And they don't, because they don't want people saying, wait a minute, well, there are two genders, at least arguably there are two genders, right? You should at least be able to say, well, I think there are two genders, right? Because going into 2020, they don't want people telling the truth. They only want people coloring in with these very rigid, narrow lines. And if you go out of that, they're going to shame you. They're going to fire you. They're going to try to destroy you financially and personally. Heck, they're going to even threaten to kill you.
Yes, they will. And I can promise you that.
The only way to fight back, and that's why I'm so, I don't know what, ashamed of the Denver Post, really, or disappointed.
How can you be ashamed?
Yeah, that's a good point. But, I mean, you can't give in, right? Because here's the thing.
Well, that's why, you know, I feel like we're, you know, We are, you know, that planet out in Star Wars where the rebel forces are still broadcasting live.
Here's Karen Catling, too, who, by the way, has her own show spouting off on BBS Radio. She says, John Caldera of the Denver Post, Glenn Beaton of the Aspen Times, the most contentious election year in decades. Who gave the directive to fire conservatives in January 2020? They forced their national issues. Karen, you're so right. One state at a time. After people locally, no coincidences, not in today's politics. I absolutely agree with you that it is not a coincidence that that all of this is happening, and it's not just happening in Colorado. You know, thank God for places like BBS Radio and Doug and Don Newsom, right?
Podcasts where people
can go. Now, again, you've got, like I said, Judicial Watch or YouTube. They're live streaming the same exact content because there's only one feed. They're live streaming the same exact content that CNN, MSNBC, The Daily Beast, Slate, and everybody is live streaming. And Facebook, no, it's YouTube, pulled it down. And Facebook, I guess, too, pulled it down, saying it didn't meet their community standards. Now, and then you were supposed to believe that's a coincidence? I don't even think so.
Well, why does it always happen to conservatives?
Right, exactly. Exactly. One of the other things, though, I think that's important is that people be aware that that is happening, right? If that kind of thing is happening, the only way to fight back is to fight back, right?
Right.
And that's why I love when you see people like Jim Jordan, Mark Meadows, the Republican Congress people going ahead and saying, hey, we're going to go into the meeting and make you shove us out to demonstrate the fact that can't happen, right? And I hope the Senate does too, because otherwise, you know, they win, right? And as Karen Catling points out, they're focusing one state at a time, well, maybe more than one state, but state by state. You know, they get a lot of pushback if they try to get rid of Sean Hannity, right? They get rid of John Caldera at the Denver Post, even though he was the most read columnist, which you'd think would matter if you're the Denver Post.
It doesn't. That's even worse. Yeah. That's worst of all that he, you know, Doug Friedenash is not the most read or Krista Kafer is not the most read, you know. Not Caldera is not the, we got to shut that down now.
Right.
And the KNUS is effective. We got to stop that. We got to stop KNUS. We got to stop the, you know, the power of conservative radio.
Right, right. And not just conservative radio, conservative blog sites, conservative.
Yeah, whatever it is.
You know, and I think it can't. I think they can't. On the other hand, though, they're going to keep trying.
No,
and again, what they want to do is they want to make it so miserable for people like John Caldera and for us that everyone else is like, ooh, I don't think I want to even do that. I'm not going to say anything. Instead, I'm going to virtue signal, right? So.
Well, the Republicans have to organize that, you know.
Yeah.
They have to organize. And, you know, it's almost impossible for Tucker Carlson, who I think is just brilliant. I mean, when he came on the air, I went, oh no, Tucker Carlson, that, you know, kind of preppy looking. He's been unbelievable. His analysis is just tremendous. It is just tremendous.
Well, he said, we talked about this our first show, he said, and I agree, that this silencing and this the attempt to say that you can't use certain words, and if you use certain words, we're going to destroy you. If you say there are, like I said, two genders, if you say whatever, right, then we're going to destroy you. I think that is the greatest threat facing this country. I kind of think whatever happens at the impeachment sham hearing, I don't know that that's going to make, unless actually they convict him, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to make that much difference in the election. So they're fighting on all fronts, and Republicans have to too. That's why they hate Donald Trump, because he still has yet another rally. I was seeing they had like, you know, tens of thousands of people once again showing up to hear him. And when he gets
he's going to New Jersey,
which
you can't possibly win. He can't win New York. You know, Pennsylvania, maybe they can draw some people from Pennsylvania because Drew's district. He's going to support one guy who voted because the impeachment changed the Republican. Now, Colorado, you know.
If we could go to New Jersey, Chuck, you'd think. It's like Donald Trump, if anyone in your campaign is listening, you need to come to Colorado.
Just you know.
Just even for a little while. Just even for a little while. Joe Biden is coming. He's going to go to Ken Salazar's house, oh, I saw. Yeah. Well, you notice they're having it at Ken Salazar's house.
Right.
Right. They're not having it at, big a house, former Interior Secretary.
Having it at the venue that can support the crowd to come see him, which is five people, you know. Ken's got a house. He could maybe get 50 people in
right,
there.
Right, all of whom have
They want to make it look crowded, because if he did it at Mile High Stadium or whatever it's called now, Power Field, you know, they go, well, there's only 12 people here.
So he has to do that. What else do we want to talk? There's all kinds of stuff to talk about. You know, one thing too, and we'll get into this more, what we want to do in the show is we want to talk national, we want to talk local, in part because I think the issues that face us here in Denver, the issues that face us here in Colorado, are the same issues facing everybody everywhere, right? And so one of the big things that we're going to be keeping an eye on is the state legislature, once again, is trying to kind of, they're doing it a little sneakier, but they want to pass something. If you're not from Colorado, you won't even believe this. They want to make heroin injection sites.
Unless you're from Philadelphia.
Yeah, then you know. But they want to set up heroin injection sites, places where people can go and shoot up heroin, places where you can't be arrested for selling heroin, you can't be arrested for buying heroin, and if you happen to overdose, they'll save you, and then you go back out. And like the red flag laws here, nothing tying to mental health treatment, drug rehab, nothing like that.
Well, they don't mention drug rehab.
No.
Or where you could go to get help.
No, they can't even tell you, because that would make you feel bad.
That would make you feel bad. So they're not there to lead you to not being a heroin addict anymore.
Right, right. Oh, and Anil, I'm going to have to apologize. I'm going to have to read this later. Anil is texting me. Chuck will love this on the plastic bill. Kevin Priolo, who's a Republican in name only, has some kind of recycling ocean plastic here in Colorado. Because that's big concern right here at the Colorado legislature, is that open plastic.
That'll pass.
Hey, listen.
Bipartisan support.
There we go. This is going to wrap it up for us.
Robert, wait a minute. Don't we have another couple of hours?
No, we don't even have. We have 60
you're right,
seconds.
You're right. Well, thanks, everybody. It's been great to talk to you again from our kitchen.
That's right.
And
we will see you next time.
Next time.